Praise the Lord, everyone.
Well,
it's so good to see all of you here this morning. And it looks like we're starting right on time. I do like doing that. Praise the Lord. Before we get started with some singing, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst preside over this service. We ask, O God, that thy spirit would flow over each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that thy presence would be here and that we would feel thee and know that thou art right here with us. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to start off the morning by singing a few songs. You can find your Melodies of Praise hymn book. What I'd like to do is start with number 107, Glory to His Name. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of. Glory to His name. Come to the fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His
name. We had actually finished all the verses.
But,
praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I guess maybe what we'll do is go to number 178, Where He Leads.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He that great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where He leads I'll follow, follow Jesus every day.
Jesus hath shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he, the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where he leads I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Listen to his loving words, come unto me, weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for me. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where he leads I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Oh, where he leads I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where he leads I'll follow, follow Jesus every day.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. As long as you're following Jesus, you never have to worry that you're going the wrong way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, why don't we go to number 175, He is Able to Deliver Thee. The grandest theme through the ages rung, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, come to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we know that we can go to Jesus for rest. He will take us away from our old works, and in him we will find rest for our souls. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, why don't we go to number 18, the solid rock.
Oh,
blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Rest in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Praise the Lord.
If we build our lives upon that solid rock, we will have stability. We won't flounder. We won't fall. We must remember what Jesus told us to do, to build our lives on that solid rock. Our foundation should be Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 278, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Unto Him against that day.
know not what a good or ill may be reserved for me. Of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up our collection. Doug, if you'd do that for us.
Thanks, Lord.
Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes and offerings. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom and thy instruction on how these funds should be used. We pray that thou wast blessed the giver and bless also those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go into the Word, I thought maybe we could sing one more song. Number 255, Jesus Loves Even Me. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad. glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Praise the Lord.
What a wonderful thought. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to go into the Word now. And this message came to me a few days ago. Something I've been working on since then over the past 3 or 4 days, and hopefully this will be a good message. I'm going to call this message today A Matter of the Heart. And before we get started, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy promises, for the knowledge that we know that Thou art here with us. For Thou hast said, wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. We ask, O God, that Thy presence would be here in each of our hearts, so that Thy Spirit would flow, that Thou wouldst give us understanding of Thy holy Scriptures. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst bless this message and use it for the nurturing of our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as I mentioned previously, the title of this message today is A Matter of the Heart. And what I'd like to do to start out with is go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Now, out in the world, they have this conventional wisdom that is often talked about. You know, they make movies about it, they make TV shows about it, they write books about it. And what they tell people to do is follow your heart. Sometimes that's the worst thing you could possibly do. And we're going to see exactly why that is in Jeremiah chapter 17, and also in various other scriptures we're going to go to today. Well, you know, that they always say that, follow your heart, or the heart wants what it wants. That's true, it wants what it wants, but maybe it shouldn't get what it wants. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 17. And starting in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1, it tells us, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the tables of their heart and upon the horns of your altars." Now that's really something there. It says it's written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. And this is the sin of Judah. And you definitely don't want sin written on your hearts. But back in this day, at this time, there was quite a problem in Israel. The Israelites had turned their back on God, and God was going to send judgment on the children of Israel for their folly. It tells us in verse 2, "Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders." So what God is saying here to the prophet Jeremiah is that everything that the Israelites had, their treasures, was going to be given to the spoil. And the reason this was happening is because the Israelites had gone after and followed other gods. In fact, that's what it's describing there when it talks about their groves and their green trees. They would go up into the high hills under those trees, and they would worship pagan gods. That's a horrible and treacherous thing.
Amen.
And then, sometimes, some of them, even after they did that, they would then go and try to worship the one true God, too. But we know that doesn't work.
for God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Verse 4, and thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. You know, it is possible to lose your heritage with the Lord. It happened to the children of Israel back here, and it can happen too in a spiritual sense. And we'll see, continuing on with this message, what we must do to make sure that doesn't happen. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. See, that was their big problem. Their hearts had departed from the Lord. You know, if you're going to put your hope and your trust in man, you're going to be let down every time. Verse 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. And what it's talking about with the word heath there, that refers to an area of land in a dry and desolate, uncultivated place where there's nothing but these dry shrubs. In fact, actually, that's where the word heather comes from. Heather refers to dry shrubs. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. If you want to be blessed, you need to put your hope and your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's the opposite of putting your faith in man. If you put your hope and your trust in the Lord, you'll never go wrong that way. Verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So we see that if we put our trust in the Lord, there will be stability there, there will be strength there. It'll be as a tree planted by the waters, which spreadeth out her roots by the river. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's a very important verse. And it's so true. If Jesus Christ hasn't come into your heart, if you don't have the Holy Ghost living inside you, then the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not just a little bit wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it? But thankfully, we serve a Savior who can cleanse our hearts, who can purify us. Verse 10 tells us, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so is he that getteth riches and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. So there it's referring to people who gain riches wrongfully, but they're not going to get to keep those. They can't take them with them in eternity. And verse 12 goes on to say, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. We see that those who forsake the Lord, they're going to be ashamed of that one day. And sadly, there are a lot of people in this world today who have forsaken the Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. If you want healing, true healing, complete healing, you need to get that from the Lord. Not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. If you want salvation, you have to get that from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, "Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. And as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. Neither have I desired the woeful day, that thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction." And that's pretty bad. Not just destruction, but double destruction. "But such is the punishment for those who forsake the Lord, for those who turn their hearts away from the Lord." Verse 19. "Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction." So we see here that the Israelites refused to obey the Lord. "And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places about Jerusalem, and from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and it shall be quenched." So we know back in this time, the children of Israel, they were told to keep the Sabbath in very specific ways, and of course they weren't doing it. They were disobedient to the Lord. And actually keeping the Sabbath was probably one of the easiest commandments they had to follow, and they couldn't even do that, which is kind of interesting. But we know that today our Sabbath is the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him we rest from our old works. Praise the Lord. In fact, we're going to be looking at that rest a little bit later in this message. But what I'd like to do now is continue on in this study in Matthew chapter 15. We know from Jeremiah chapter 17 that the heart is deceitful. Unless we have the Lord Jesus living in our hearts of men are full of wickedness and deceit. And that's something that Jesus is going to teach us right here in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, it tells us, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Now we know that the Pharisees at this time, they were very religious, they were very into ceremony, they were very into tradition. And it's a good thing to wash your hands before you eat, obviously, but They actually made that part of their religion, to wash their hands before they eat bread. Verse 3 tells us, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." And what this is referring to back then, they came up with this little loophole. If they had something that they didn't want to share with their parents, if they didn't want to help take care of their parents, they could say it was a gift and therefore they couldn't use it to help their parents. And of course, that was just selfishness. And it was a tradition that obviously displeased the Lord greatly. For we see Jesus is chastising them here for that. But you see, these Pharisees were not right in their hearts. And we're going to see that as we continue on in this chapter. Verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And that's a big problem even in the land today. You know, people will honor the Lord with their lips, but not with their hearts. You know, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not just referring to that organ in our chests. It's referring to our core, our very innermost being, the very essence of our being, the inward parts. That's what it means by the heart. Verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You know, a lot of denominations, they have a specific formula they follow. They go through the motions and the rituals, but that's vain worship. That's not going to do anything. You have to worship God from the heart, in spirit and in truth. Your heart has to be open and ready and willing to receive what God has for you. Verse 10, "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" And of course, the Pharisees got offended quite often, especially when Jesus was around. You know, they had their religion, and Jesus was systematically dismantling it, which is actually the reason they crucified him, because he was destroying their religion. Verse 13, "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." So we see here that Jesus is using some interesting imagery to describe these Pharisees. They were leading the people were blind spiritually, and the Pharisees were also blind. So you had the blind leading the blind, and what a sorry state of affairs that is. Verse 15, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." See, it's what's in our hearts that defiles us. If what's in there doesn't belong, if what's in there is wrong. Verse 19, For out of the hearts proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. You know, there's more important things to worry about than whether or not a man washed his hands before eating. It's a good thing to do, obviously, for health reasons, but we see that it's out of the heart of man that proceeds evil thoughts and murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. The heart truly is deceitful, just as it said in Jeremiah chapter 17. What I'd like to do now is go to Hebrews chapter 3. And in Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to see how important it is that we do not harden our hearts. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And we know that God is our creator. He is the maker of everything in this world, all the building blocks, the elements and so forth, that man then used to make other things, houses and so forth. But ultimately, going down to the molecular level, everything was created by God. And of course, we know that's not what they're teaching in the public schools these days. They teach evolution, and of course, they insist that it is fact. And they like to make fun of people who believe in creationism. You know, we don't know what we're talking about. We're crazy and so forth. And they like to laugh at us for that, but now, they have a little problem because they say that there was a big bang and that's how everything got started. But if you ask them, you know, even prominent scientists such as Bill Nye, if you ask them, well, where did the energy come from for the big bang? And they'll say, we don't know. That's always their answer. We don't know. But if you stop and think about it, there has to be something that always existed. And that something is God. And you know, if you have a creator, then there's no need for evolution. Because God made everything by his own hand. Mystery solved. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we?" Do you realize that we are the house of the Lord Jesus Christ? That his spirit dwells inside each and every one of us? Praise the Lord. "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness." And of course, what that's referring to, the provocation there, it's when the Israelites were in the wilderness, and God had wrought many wondrous miracles for them. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. He parted the sea so that they could cross over on dry land. He worked many miracles for them, and they still doubted. They still had no faith. They were out in the wilderness, and they were murmuring and complaining that they had nothing to drink. And that's what it's referring to. That spiritual condition, the provocation, the murmuring, the complaining, their hearts were not right toward God. even after all God had done for them. And that's so common even today. We are all so blessed. God has done so much for us, and yet so often we're discontent with what we have. We want more, or we want something else. And that was definitely a problem for the children of Israel at this time when they were in the wilderness. You know, God rained down manna from heaven to feed them. It was literally bread from heaven. I'm sure it tasted wonderful, but they weren't happy with that either. I think maybe they were at first, but they grew tired of it and they wanted meat. They demanded meat. And, you know, God, he gave them the meat, but he gave them so much meat, they ate so much of it that it literally came out of their nostrils. But that's what is being referred to here in Hebrews chapter 3 by the provocation. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. And that's pretty serious there, because it doesn't say they sometimes erred in their heart. It said they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You know, there was an entire generation that had to wander through the wilderness because they doubted God, because they murmured and they complained, and their hearts were not right with the Lord. And because of that, they couldn't enter into the promised land. And the same thing applies to us today. If we want to enter into that promised land, that new Jerusalem, that new heavens and that new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, our hearts must be right with the Lord. Otherwise, we can't enter in. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, that was the problem for the children of Israel in that time of provocation. They had evil hearts of unbelief. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. And the more you sin, the longer it goes on and persists, the harder and harder your heart will get. It has a cumulative effect. And sadly, if you keep sinning unrepentantly and just keep doing it over and over and over again, some people get to a point where they become reprobate and they can no longer tell the difference between good and evil. So yes, sin is deceitful. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. We need to be in tune with the Lord. We need to hear his voice. We need to hear what he has to say to us. And the best way to do that is to get all the sin and gunk and garbage out of your life. Don't let your hearts be hardened as it was for the children of Israel in that time of provocation. Verse 16, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? That generation, most of them, they were not allowed to enter into the promised land, and their carcasses fell in the wilderness. It's a very sad thing. Verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into the rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we see how important it is to make sure that we allow God to do a new work in our hearts, to clean out our hearts, to purify us. We need him to come in and clean all of the gunk out of our hearts, out of our lives. And in so doing, then Jesus will come and live in our hearts. The Holy Ghost will be in our hearts. And we won't have to worry about missing out on his rest. Praise the Lord. What I'd like to do now is go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is an interesting psalm. It's a psalm by David, and this was written shortly after the prophet Nathan had come to him, and it wasn't for a good reason. David had committed grievous sins. We all know that story, how he saw Bathsheba bathing on the roof, and he decided he wanted her. And he went in under her, and she got pregnant. And then, in order to cover up his sin, in the end, he ended up killing the righteous soldier by the name of Uriah. So this was a horrible and treacherous thing that David had done. And in this psalm, we see that David is repenting for what he had done. Psalm 51, verse 1 tells us, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." And you know, this psalm applies to each and every one of us too, because this is what we need the Lord Jesus to do for us. Wash us thoroughly, to cleanse us from our sins. Verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And we know that that applies to us too. If Jesus will wash our hearts, we can be whiter than snow. Verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." And this is something that God has promised to do for us if we will truly and sincerely repent of our sins. He will blot out those sins, and they will not be held against us on the day of judgment. Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know, there's only one way to have a clean heart. God has to create a clean heart in each and every one of us. You know, we remember the story of creation in the book of Genesis, how there was darkness and void, and God brought forth light. And he can do the same thing in our hearts. Even when there's darkness in our hearts and void in our hearts, God can speak to our hearts. He can cleanse our hearts. He can say, "Let there be light in our hearts." And that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." If you want the Holy Spirit in your heart, if you want the Holy Ghost in your heart must first be cleansed. We need clean hearts.
Amen.
And if we truly give our hearts to the Lord, and let him scrub clean all that gunk and garbage, and we will have the joy of his salvation. Praise the Lord. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So we see that if we repent of our sins, God can create clean hearts within each and every one of us. And he has promised that he will not remember our sins on judgment day when we stand before him. If we've been cleansed of our sins, if we have pure hearts. I wasn't planning on doing this, but why don't we look at Psalm 103 for a minute? Because that ties in so well with the psalm we just read. Psalm 103, verse 1 tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, if we repent of our sins and we let God come in and cleanse our hearts, create clean hearts inside us, then he will forgive our iniquities. He will heal our diseases. He will redeem our lives from destruction. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy young is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And you know, you can't get any farther away from that. He will take our transgressions away from us. He'll take them out of our hearts. But we have to let go of all wickedness, of all uncleanness. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We are all so weak. We're all just but dust of the earth. God knows that. And thankfully, we serve a merciful Savior who is willing to forgive us our sins as long as we truly repent. Verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. So we see how ready and willing the Lord is to forgive us of our sins. We just let him create clean hearts within us. Glory to God. What I'd like to do now is go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is a beautiful chapter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." And we know that when we handle the word of God, we need to do it truthfully. We can't bend the scriptures to our will, but rather we must let God teach us his scriptures according to his purpose and his will. Scriptures are of no private interpretation. That's really something, you know, sometimes you see Christians, they'll argue amongst themselves, sometimes over things that don't even matter really, and they just go at it. And if people would just get in the Word of God and believe what it says, rather than trying to come up with their own explanations for things that should be clearly understood, we would all be far better off. We shouldn't handle the Word of God deceitfully. Verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." So when it says the God of this world, we see that the word God there is in lowercase, and for the reason for that is it's actually referring to the devil in that verse. He is considered the God of this world in this context. But we know that there is one true God, and that's Satan. He never will truly be God. He wants to be. But in truth, he is actually a weakling, and we, as Christians, through the power of Jesus Christ, have power over the devil. Praise the Lord. But unfortunately, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And there's a lot of that going around today. People who have blinded minds, you try to talk to them and reason with them and share the truth with them, and they just can't hear it. They can't see it. They can't understand it. And that can be frustrating for us, but there's a reason for it. Their minds have been blinded. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now we know that our God is invisible, but Jesus Christ is the image of our God. You can't know God unless you know Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." In verse 6, I have to say I love this verse so much. It tells us, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ."
Hallelujah.
See, that's how we have clean hearts. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ has shined in our hearts. He is our light. That darkness that was in our hearts, that's gone now. And the light, Jesus Christ, our Savior, he is in our hearts now. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We live in a very troubling world, that much is clear. If you don't believe me, just read the newsletter. You can read all about the trouble and the distress and the despair, but that doesn't have to impact us like it does people out there, because we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We have the light of Jesus Christ shining in our hearts. So even though there's trouble on every side, trouble all around us, we don't have to be distressed. We don't have to be in despair. Verse 9. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You know, because Jesus went to the cross and died for us, through him we can live, we can have eternal life, we can have that light shining in our hearts. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. You know, because Jesus was resurrected, we too can be resurrected. And when we're baptized in Jesus' name, when we go down in that water, we're buried with Jesus in baptism, and we rise to walk in newness of life. When we go down in that water, Jesus Christ is right there with you. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And that word redound there, what's that referring to is to reflect, to come back or reflect. And, you know, if we have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining in our hearts, and that light will reflect on others who see us, others who are around us. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, there is affliction in this world, there is trouble in this world, but that's all temporary. It's only a moment, really, in the when you look at it in the scope of eternity. And you know what? Once you get there, once you're in eternity, in that new heavens and that new earth, you're not going to remember any of the bad stuff from this world. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We know that the things of God are eternal. There are so many things in this world that don't really matter in the big scheme of things. Temporal things. The word temporal there referring to things that are of or pertaining to time. But the things of God are eternal.
Yes, that's right.
Well, we see from this study how important it is to have Jesus shining in our hearts, to have clean hearts. For we know that unless God cleanses our hearts, that the hearts of men are deceitful.
and desperately wicked. But God can counter all of that. I would like to read verse 6 one more time from 2 Corinthians 4. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We all need that light shining in our hearts.
Amen.
And we know that the light hath no fellowship with darkness. So we need to make sure our hearts are pure and cleansed. Remember what Jesus said at the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Praise the Lord. We need to have pure and cleansed hearts. We need to let that light of Jesus Christ shine in our hearts. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for thy cleansing power. We thank thee for thy readiness to forgive us if we just truly repent and forsake all unrighteousness. We thank thee, O God, for cleansing our hearts, and we ask, O God, that thy light would shine in our heart, in our hearts now and always. We ask, O God, that these words we read today would sink down deeply into our hearts, that they would not leave us, but that they would make an impact on our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, for the power of thy saving blood. Amen. We'll close with a chorus. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I just wanted to let all of you know that if everything goes according to plan, we will be having 2 baptisms next week. A friend of mine is coming down from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, so he and his wife would like to be baptized. So it should be a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.